we're back. Saints and Pioneers. We're doing it live. Jesse Crow. What's up, brother?
How you doing?
Good. How about you? Hey, so we're going to talk about Jesse Crow and the unrest for just a minute before we get started into things. Had a big gig the other day that God was even impressed with as he began to bring in the weather. tell folks about that. That was a pretty cool thing.
Biggest gig we've had yet.
Yeah.
It was we opened for a group called Maddie and Tay, which I didn't know who they were until this whole event, but they're quite popular apparently. My 11-year-old daughter loves them.
Yeah, she had to think that was pretty cool that she was out there opening up same stage and all that stuff.
Some people might remember this guy, which is a guy, it's a band name, Five for Fighting. You remember him?
Yeah.
Who was the last group? Parmalee.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
I see. That's another one that kind of bad country. I got country. That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
So we got to open for them, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
I got to witness a psycho dude trying to get it to those chicks, Maddie, I keep screwing up their name? Maddie and Tay. I want to keep saying Maddie. That's their new name now. I'm just going to call
Natalie.
Them that. Maddie.
Yeah.
But yeah, some dude was... Did I tell you about that?
No.
Yeah, some weird guy. He's like... This dude's like in his... He's got to be in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a dumpy looking guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this mug walks up to the fence line. It's like incessantly holding up some kind of... Damn, I don't know. It was like a drawing. He made him a drawing or something. And he's like... I need them to sign this.
Yeah.
And he was like a dog pacing the fence line, just incessant.
Breaking out the drawing, that's a bold move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we were standing back there, and they were on, the girls had just come off the stage from sound checking.
Mm-hmm.
They walked in front of me, and the guy's standing there on the other side of the fence about 20 feet from us, and he's like trying to get me to get them to walk over there. And I'm clueless at this point. We had just walked up.
Right.
I didn't even know that was them. I just saw two girls. I couldn't see who was on stage. I could just hear it.
Yeah.
I see the two girls walk off the stage. But I thought, my first thought was, those are maybe wives of the other bands or something.
Yeah.
They walk off the stage, and I'm getting my stuff together and everything. Mm-hmm. I just got everything out of my car. And, so he's like incessantly trying to get them. Well, I didn't know who he was talking about. He was pointing in their direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my guitar player, Jared's like, dude, don't, he's been there for a while trying to get their attention.
Yeah.
Well, then I heard the bodyguard there. They had a security bodyguard person overheard him telling one of the people that worked the event that he was going to get them out of there to prevent them. Him from that guy from interacting with them in any way.
Wow.
It was weird.
That's creepy.
So I'm wondering if like maybe he traveled and followed them there or something. Maybe
stalker.
Yeah, like stalker. Some stalker guy.
Rumor is he was out in the crowd for the people that wouldn't help him. He said, "You suck, you jackass." Remember that guy? Speaking of, Happy Gilmore too.
He said that out. Maddie and Tay is one. Never mind.
Yeah, you figure it out.
Woo!
Hey, speaking of movies, I meant to text you this the other day. We are movie connoisseurs. But do you know the scene, and I know you know it, Dumb and Dumber, where Jim Carrey is walking out, a.k.a. Lloyd Christmas.
Yeah.
He's walking out, and they got the big gulps. You know,
I know exactly.
Did you know that was totally improvised?
I did know that.
That was random people that are walking by when they're filming.
Yeah.
And that was Jim Carrey just like,
Big gulps, huh?
And then just like, all right. And then walks
off. See you later.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally improvised. But
me and Joseph do that to each other all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, speaking of Jesse, he was just telling me before we started recording that his music is so powerful. He didn't say that. I'm adding that. But he played a siren song for a coyote at his house the other day.
Yeah.
Out picking on the front porch and a coyote comes up.
Coyote walks up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Yeah. It's crazy.
He dug your music.
I'm going to shoot that sucker in the head if it walks back out.
Next time there'll be a rifle there. And that's what I suggested to Jesse, was prop the rifle and then start picking. And but hey, speaking of rifles, you might notice I have a beautifully, I didn't even plan that, but I have a beautiful Kelly Green N1 Outdoors shirt, which is friends of the show. And so remind you of that. If you go to n1outdoors.com, use the coupon code Keith, 15% off your entire order. Great folks, great Christian company as well.
Don't use the coupon code Jesse or they'll add to your order.
Yes, that is, I actually confirmed that with them, that if you use the code Jesse, you have to pay 15% more. So don't do that. But great folks, great Christian-owned company, and obviously share their love of the Creator and creation, all that good stuff.
All your hunting, fishing gear, yeah, man.
Hiking, anything outdoors. I mean, pretty much anything you want to do outdoors, you can wear their shirts.
Yeah.
Hey, I've even worn them indoors, so it works.
I mean, they could have anything. It could be something really cool that we don't even know about.
This is true. This is very true. Also new, a little bit of a sponsor here for us, Magic City Detail, for all your automotive detailing needs, large or small, whatever you need on that. If you mention Saints and Pioneers, and we're going to leave the N1 Outdoors link and contact info to Magic City Detail. But if you mention Saints and Pioneers as you set up your next detail, we get you 10% off for that. So both of those will be in show notes. Well, before we get started in our stuff, I know this is old news to those that maybe follow me and you or that are in our circle, but if you kind of are outside that and just a listener to Saints and Pioneers, we appreciate that. But we'd mentioned the last time we recorded that I had my scan, yearly scan coming up, and praise God we got that news cancer-free. And so I definitely wanted to update people on that. So, man, just awesome. huge weight off of that. And thank you for those that maybe you missed that news, if you do follow along and have prayed for that. So we appreciate that very much. Well, we're getting down here to the end of our Western theology.
And we do apologize, too, that these are so spaced out.
Yeah.
You know, life's really busy right now for the both of us, and we're trying to get through this, but it's very important stuff.
Yeah.
And absolutely. We want to keep on track.
Absolutely. And so hopefully even as we go through the summer, we'll have a little bit freer schedules that we can have a little more consistent. So when folks, they've asked you and I both, when's the next episode coming out? A lot of times we tell folks we don't know, but it'll be out soon.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of summer, you know what I've really enjoyed?
I could say a lot of things, but I don't know. You tell me.
Bucky's,
yeah.
The convenience store.
Yeah.
This place fascinates me.
Calling it a convenience store is a little bit of a, it's like a shopping mall.
It's crazy. That place fascinates me. Mm-hmm. You walk in there and it's like a wonderland.
Yeah.
They have candy, like the best candy in the world. Yeah. They have this thing. I call it a beaver head.
Yeah.
It really is a beaver head.
Okay.
It's a chocolate. It's huge. This sucker's like a gold medallion.
Hmm.
And they have some that's milk chocolate with peanut butter inside.
Okay.
And then they have some with milk chocolate and truffle chocolate inside.
Man.
So I have been...
I heard that if you eat that, it makes you do the truffle shuffle.
It might, yeah. If you eat too much of it.
Yeah.
I've been going there. You can get a drink, this big-ass Slurpee, for $1.
Man.
Yeah,
that's nice.
You get a drink for $1.
Yeah,
they have a brisket sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
The chop. Have you had that?
Yeah,
dude, I'm blown away by this place. That's you know, there's one in Robertsdale.
Okay,
going down the beach, you take a little detour.
Yeah,
I think it's Robertsdale.
Yeah,
it's close.
In Leeds.
Yeah, there's one in Leeds.
Yeah,
so when we go to the beach now, we take a little detour.
Yeah,
and go. You jump on I-10.
Yeah,
and go. What is that, West?
Old Bucky's.
Yeah. And go around, and anyway, you get off there at I-10, and it's, I don't know why I was thinking about that.
So
but it brings me great joy
going there. Yeah, you were wanting one of those candies, man. I'll tell you this. I know. So I've been to the one in Leeds. I've never been to the one down by the beach, but I've been to one in, I think it was in Florida. But the first one I ever went to was Texas. And, you know, they say everything's bigger in Texas, even the Buc-ee's. Like, you would not believe the amount of gas.
See,
pumps.
I want to know.
Crazy.
I want to know who thought this up.
I don't know.
I would have loved to have been in that room.
Yeah.
Because I would have been the one to go, are you stupid or something?
Yeah.
Like, why are you?
Yeah. No, restrooms have like 3,000 urinals. Like, yeah. I mean, they're like, yeah.
And it is insane when you walk in there. It's wall-to-wall people, but the lines are like, you're in and out of there. Like, when I don't like crowds.
Right.
When I get into a crowd, I get super anxious.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, you're in and out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You grab what you want, stand in line, and the line will be long, but it just files down so quickly.
So Buc-ee's is not a sponsor, but Buc-ee's, if you're listening, we're showing you the love. We love you. Have you ever had the Beaver Nuggets?
I have. Those? Yeah.
The little
that kind of grosses me out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a there's no telling what that is.
Calling it that?
Yeah.
I just can't. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Got a wall of jerky.
Yeah,
everything that you can make jerky out of, they've got it.
Yeah,
yeah, every animal. But so there you go, Buc-ee's, cards are on the table. We love you. So if you love us,
come on, give us $1 million.
Reach out
or something.
Deal. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So so we've got today Western Theology Chapter 7. We've got one more episode that we'll have Western Theology, and then I've got some exciting things coming down the road. Get to it today. And so, hopefully you followed along. If not, we'd encourage you to go back. I think every episode has got some value as a standalone, but I think it would make much more sense to go back and start at chapter one if you're just new to the podcast. But comparing and contrasting the settler theology versus a pioneer theology. Obviously, if you follow along, you know the pioneer theology is what we aim for. Another way to look at that, probably, before the episode, we prayed and we said that it's really kind of like religion versus relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the settler theology is very much on that religion side of things and trying to earn favor, where relationship is truly a walking with God.
You know, and I thought about this the other day. A good way to think about it is settler theology is all about building stuff. Mm. Pioneer theology is all about moving.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about being on the move.
Right.
You know, the institutional church is all about let's set up camp, let's build, let's expand. Let's contain.
Right.
So, you know, pioneer theology is like, let's stay on the move. Let's give of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let's give away. Let's give lavishly.
Yeah.
You know, let's love lavishly.
Yeah.
Let's like, I don't know. It's just a beautiful picture.
Following the trail boss. If he says go, we go.
We go.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's a beautiful thing. Well, it's a great way to look at it. So this week's chapter is it's talking about a word that we don't really use in our circles, but the catechism, which is basically like doctrine or theology in itself. And so not going to go through all of them because quite honestly, it's a lot. But I did compare and contrast, and we're looking at this, the same ones in each category. So if we look at one in settler theology, hang with us, and we'll look at pioneer theology and what kind of get the compare and contrast to each of those. But to remind yourself, in settler theology, the courthouse, if you will, remember the church is kind of compared to a courthouse in the town square. And again, we won't discuss each point, but a few from both perspectives. So first up, churchmanship is what he calls it. And so just think of this as, you know, the faith family that you're involved in. In settler theology, what that really relates to, it kind of goes to what you were saying, Jesse, of just hanging around the courthouse, again, aka the church, just meetings, just being there every time the doors are open, a tone of being there because it's what is expected and just what we do. Mm. Where do you see that in today's church culture, if you will, as far as just that attendance and almost the guilt of not attending a certain event or anything? Have you ever been involved in places where you kind of felt that was what they were going for? Or?
Yeah, like, man, you know, walking through this whole series has made me reflect on the way I used to, the way that I used to feel, mm-hmm. like church used to make me feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, you were there because if you weren't there, you felt guilty.
Yeah.
For not being there. I remember, man, like, I remember when I got out of my parents' house, mm-hmm. living on my own, you know, I remember, like, the whole, like, Sunday night, you know, you had just Sunday night service, mm-hmm. you know. And no one likes Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Let's get, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know. I was so envious of Joseph, our friend Joseph, because mm-hmm. the church he was at back then, mm-hmm. they didn't have Sunday night service.
Yeah.
Their pastor at the time called it family time. He mm-hmm. said, you need to spend that time with your family.
Yeah.
But the church I was going to at the time would have Sunday night, and they were so boring.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry. I know church is not all supposed to be about fun. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you have this church. I was talking to somebody years ago, and they were talking about their church had a, like, the, you walk in the door, and they had the, one of the Disney characters dressed up, mm-hmm. and they had a slide for the kids, and they had this and this. But I'm not saying, like, it should be titillating, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a, I think that's error too, mm-hmm. you know? But, oh my God, man. Yeah. Like, there's something to be said about it being so boring, but you're there because you're like, well, damn, if I don't go, mm-hmm. I'm going to be sitting at home, you know, feeling guilty because I didn't go.
Right. You know? Right.
And man, how freeing is it now? Mm-hmm. Like, to yeah. be shed of all that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But I just remember that, like, it was like.
Well, and I think that was especially true too. If you were in any kind of leadership position, it was like kind of an unwritten rule.
Why are you not there? Why weren't you there?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know,
yeah, yeah. I've been there Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday nights, most, you know, weeks of the month, but I missed one Sunday night. So yeah, yeah. It's like, what, have you walked away from the faith? You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. I would encourage, even from there, if you're wrapped up in somewhere, and that may not even be put on you by your church, it yeah. may be an internal.
And that's the thing to point out. I will say that, because there's people listening to this that went to church with me back in those days, and mm-hmm. well, how did we make you or that? Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily anybody. That's mm-hmm. what's so interesting. It yeah. was we briefly talked about this last podcast. We talked about that religious spirit. Mm-hmm. We do believe that's an evil spirit.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, right. Wacky kind of mindset, but I do believe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That exists in those places. And it's not really coming from anyone.
Right.
But it's this sense of, like, everything is about duty. It's about obligation. And the more I've learned about the kingdom of God, the more foreign that whole mindset is now, mm-hmm. the whole duty obligation kind of thing. Now I still feel obligated to certain things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like our deal on Sundays, there are Sundays I wake up. I know you're the same way. Like, you wake up and you're tired from the week and mm-hmm. you don't really want to go, but it's not guilt that mm-hmm. makes me go.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a sense of, like, you know, you're pressing in and doing something you don't, maybe at the mm-hmm. moment you don't really want to do, but you
yeah.
get there and it's inspiring and it's mm-hmm. good and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a sense of, like, this evilness that exists in a lot of religious structures and mm-hmm. institutions. It's like, you know, it's in the air. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. it's in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's this sense of, man, you know, if you don't come, you know, yeah. you're really letting Jesus down.
Right.
And
right.
now that sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, really? That's yeah. the thing I did that let Jesus down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. And so the next point is eternal life. And so if in settler theology, it said it's typically viewed as an escape from boot heel and just the sweet by and by and the eternal worship service. Doesn't that sound fun? Listen, we never want to. I mean, Jesse is a worship pastor and worship leader and a very good one. And music is not the only way we worship. I know that. But when you go to folks, especially in the lost world, and like, hey, man, you know, give your heart and life to Jesus. And yes, it's abundant life here. But man, that gets your ticket punched.
Mm.
Well, what's it get my ticket punched to? Man, we're going to worship God forever.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to worship God forever. I know there's, especially guys, for, you know, a lot of reasons, but there's guys, it's like, so we're just going to sing, like, forever? Like, never stop? Like, because, I mean, you read passages like the angels that are holy, 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 like, you know, they've always, you know, and I do think there is an element of that.
I have a thought about that in a minute. But go ahead.
But to think about us participating in that, and that the rest of my life, all I'm going to do, that's not a huge motivating factor. Again, I know I'm thinking in the flesh as well. You know, I'm not there, in spirit. And I know we're going to be overwhelmed, and worship will be a huge part of it. But I just happen to think there's a lot more that's going to take place in that, so we'll see that in Pioneer. What's your thought on the
well, you know, I've always wondered that in sort of thinking along that mindset of continual
mm-hmm.
worship service in the heavens,
yeah.
You know, which again sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah
if I'm honest. But there was a line from a song that I heard recently that mm-hmm. said something that I've been thinking in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned it to you. It's a song that it's a song that we've heard 1,000 times, and I'm trying to find the line because it's not part of the song. You know how somebody mm-hmm. towards the end of the song they'll say a line, but they're just kind of ad-libbing.
Yeah.
Which,
by the way, John Chris has a good joke about that, of all this spontaneous worship. You know, that's going on in songs and stuff.
Yeah.
His bit on it is basically like he's been in some of those places and heard them practicing their spontaneous parts.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make it real spontaneous. But
so there's anyway. This line in this song called No One Like the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that the Bethel one?
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great song.
And the lady singing, she's sort of ad-libbing.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, all the angels around your throne, mm-hmm. Every time they sing, she says every time, it says every time they say, but mm-hmm. I think it's a typo.
Yeah.
She says, every time they sing, they see a new side of your face.
Mm.
And, you know, I was thinking about that. I actually said this one time when I did a talk. Mm-hmm. I just was riffing.
Mm-hmm.
While I was talking.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I wonder if, you know, the angels, you know, they're singing constantly.
Mm-hmm.
If they're singing constantly, something's got to be praiseworthy.
Mm.
Like these angels are not full of crap. They're not BSing.
Right.
Right. So there's got to be something there that they're seeing that's praiseworthy.
In fact, I think I've read in the Bible somewhere that if you're going to be an angel, that's the number one rule, is no BSing.
Right.
Yeah. You can't. Don't look for it. We're joking.
But they're not. It's not just hype. It's not hyperbole,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, what if they see something in the Lord? What if God is so complex?
Mm-hmm.
That every time they sing, they're seeing something new.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
that's
like,
great.
I mean, think about it. This has been going on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And this being that we call God
mm-hmm.
is so complex that they can't stop singing because they just keep finding reason to sing.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful.
That makes that changes the script a little
it
bit
does.
When you start to think about the continual,
yeah,
and you know, I don't know, but still, like, I think we have really done ourselves a disservice by mm-hmm. trying to tell people what you know what I always think about whenever we think about this. You're gonna laugh at
me. But I can't wait to find out.
You remember Ray Bolts?
Yeah.
Oh man, just saying his name makes me chuckle a little. I don't know why. It's just that era. It's like, you know, contemporary pop Christian. I don't know if it was pop. It was more like I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, he remember the "I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb"?
Yeah, yeah. Heard it sung many times.
Yeah, like people were tearing that one up.
Yeah,
you know, until they found out something about him.
What did they
find out? And then they just said, "Hell no. Get that mess out of here.
I hate Ray Bolts."
Yeah.
No, we don't.
They really
Ray
turned on Ray Bolts pretty quick, which is pretty sad because he's, I mean, he was a good, he is, I guess he's a good dude. He may be a terrible person. I don't know. Yeah. But they shouldn't have hated him because of that. But anyway,
right.
So he's, it had a music video.
I don't remember why.
Oh my God. You
got it. I do know that me and you got to talking about Carmen the other day, though. If you want a cringe moment, just God bless you, Carmen, if you're listening. While Bucky's is not a sponsor, I think I can speak for me and Jesse. Carmen, we love you in Christ, but no, we don't want you as a sponsor.
He passed away.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I'm speaking ill
of
the dead.
I just thought of that. That's terrible.
Did Carmen? You're talking about Carmen or Ray Bolts?
Carmen passed away.
Really?
I just thought of that.
Sorry,
God,
Carmen.
Forgive us.
Sorry,
man.
Carmen.
Sorry.
Yeah.
May Carmen rest in
peace. I don't know how that works. God, if you can pass on to Carmen, we're sorry.
But, yeah. But anyway, Ray Bolts.
But yeah. Listening to him rap is still cringy, whether he's here or not. Yeah.
It was bad.
It was bad.
So, you know, I got to say something about him now. Carmen. Carmen was like that old, he's like that old dude in the church that's like, yeah, every church has that old guy who volunteers for the youth group.
Right.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? I can rap. Yeah. I can do that.
Hey.
And they get up and they start doing it. Only he made a career out of it somehow.
So we said we were going to do an episode of all of our funny stories one day, and I'll probably revisit this one. But I've got to say it because it just applies. So, and enough time has passed. Like, and if the brother's listening, just forgive me, but I tried to warn you ahead of time. Don't do this. So, you know, I was in youth ministry. That's where you and I met, and was doing various like first priorities at some of the high schools that some of my students were involved in. And this particular one, I had this youth worker that went with me, and I don't remember. I don't think you would have done anything. I know Reggie, our friend Reggie Nichols, went and led worship a few times. But we didn't have anybody to lead worship this week. So he said, man, there's this new song that's come out. And it was the guy, Chris Rice. And it was the cartoon song.
Oh, no.
Yes. He got the version that you could get at Lifeway with no words. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, like, the sound, the sing track, the track you sing along
right.
with.
Right. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to lead in that. And I was like, bro, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I'm just thinking, like, I'd been in youth ministry. I was like, these kids are going to eat you alive. Like, I wouldn't do it. Well, he gets up there, and I mean, the whole deal, yabba dabba do ya, you know, like, all that stuff. Dude, crickets. And I had to get up and speak after that. Like, I mean, yeah,
Scooby Dooby Doo ya.
Yeah, we get in the car after, and he says, "Well, that didn't go too well, did it?" And I said, "I tried to tell you, but anyway."
Well,
if you're listening out there, Billy was his name. I love you, man. So,
wow.
Anyway,
Now I will say to Billy, I've done some equally.
Hey, I've had some talks like that I think were going to be good, and then it's like, what was I trying to say?
So the video. The Ray Bolts video?
Yeah.
I've really built this up. It's not really that big of a deal. But it's this really it's early 90s video.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to say anymore.
Yeah,
Christian
you
know. And, you know, the song is about, like, the end times and you're persecuted and you don't have the mark of the beast and they chop your head off and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty horrific.
Yeah.
Well, then they show this scene of all these people in choir robes. After they've been slain by the Beastmaster or whoever, whatever that works.
Yeah.
And Master of the, what is it?
Yeah.
What do they call the 666?
Antichrist.
Yeah. Where did I get the Beastmaster from?
I don't know.
Is that's from the movie.
I think you're watching Stranger Things or something. I don't know.
Anyway, so these people have all perished at the hands of, you know.
Yeah.
And the dad says to the son before he's carried away to be killed, he says, remember, son, he said, God is the father to the fatherless. And then he's ushered away.
Oh, man.
And early 90s, Jesse was just like, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So they show this scene of them in heaven mm-hmm. on these bleachers that they've apparently borrowed from the local gym,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
brought down there.
I think we got something a little better in bleachers
yeah.
in heaven.
And they're yeah. in this, you know, the choir stand thing,
right.
you know, where you're,
yeah.
everybody's higher than the person
yeah.
in front of them.
Yeah.
Or you wish you were. I'm sorry. But so they're singing and they're swaying, you know, and every time we talk about that,
yeah.
you know, the singing in heaven,
right.
that's the image I get. And yeah. I remember as a kid going, we're going to do that?
Yeah.
Thousands
yeah.
of years, millions
yeah.
of years?
Yeah. Forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Forever. Do we get a break?
Right.
Do we get to sit down at all?
Yeah. Are we going to rotate this choir around?
Anyway, sorry, we camped way too long on
that's
that.
That's okay. That's good stuff.
Anyway.
All right, so faith. In settler theology, believing the mayor, which is God, is in the courthouse and counting on the sheriff, who is Jesus, to protect us. I wanted to say one here that, I'll be honest, is a pet peeve of mine. I remember, like, again, youth ministry background. I remember having a teenager one time that at one of the churches I served at that came to me, and he was a little, like, I could tell something was wrong. And it was a Wednesday night. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? And he named an individual from the church, and it was an older person, got on to me because I was wearing a hat. And I said, well, why? Like, what did he say? And he said, well, he said I was, like, in God's house. Like, I just want to just camp for a moment and let folks know that building that you gather in is no longer the temple of God. Like,
right.
you are the temple,
yeah.
right? You carry him. And so this, again, if that's your preference, not wearing a hat in there, respect, whatever, that's fine. But to say that's God's house is a very Old Testament view, and like the tent of, you know, the tabernacle and all this
yeah.
stuff. It's like, you know, I remember thinking, like, fortunately I was able to clean that situation up and get those two to talk. But, you know, what if that kid hadn't have told me that? And that's his impression from an older person in church of, you know, you don't belong here mm-hmm. because you got a hat on,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And so that there very much is a concept that faith is believing that God is in the courthouse, is in that building.
Yeah.
And that Jesus is really just there, you know, to protect us.
Yeah.
You know, that a very neat, very sanitized, wrapped package.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get into it in Pioneer Theology, that God is not, it's kind of like what you said, God is so complex, you know, as far as the angels even being amazed and in awe.
Think about how anemic.
Yeah.
It's
very watered down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if
very,
that's
very
it, if that's the thing, if that's what we're trying to protect and build.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's...
And so following that from faith, here's freedom. And you know, we read Bible verses that says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But freedom in settler theology is that you, as the individual, have a choice between keeping your nose clean or getting thrown into jail.
Oh.
You know, so there's that scale, right, of doing enough good to outweigh the bad, even though we sing Amazing Grace, but it's like you still got to perform.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're going to get thrown into jail, you know.
There's a
hell,
church. There's a church. I won't say the name of the church, but it's down close to where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want people to know where I live because
yeah.
they may be able to
yeah.
tell.
Yeah.
they have a sign that they've paid to do. This is not like a church sign, like where you change out the letters.
Right.
This is like they went to a graphic design person and made it. And it's got the Monopoly guy with his jail suit, like a prison.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the caption above it says, get out of hell free card.
Mm.
And it's like, there's a verse about, like, yeah, I guess you're believing in Jesus,
yeah.
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
yeah.
man.
it's a little
pretty,
crazy. Did it tell you about the church sign I saw close to my work?
What?
It said, you remember the one where it said CH and then you... you know, you had the UR out of it and CH, and it's like, what is missing? And yeah, the punchline was UR.
Yeah.
Okay. They totally butchered it. It had the CH and the CH right, and it said, what is missing? And it spelled out the word U, YOUARE, and it was like, it doesn't even make any sense. Like, that's not what's missing. Like, you were so close, and it was up there forever. Like, I'd laugh every time I'd drive by. I was like, almost had it. But
Gladys, go change the sign. Yeah. You screwed it up.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. All right. So, gospel and grace in settler theology. Believing the mayor, again, God sent his only son, the sheriff, Jesus, and that's simply just getting you off the hook.
God, there's so much.
That's it of the gospel, right? Just, you know, grace is over at that moment.
Get out of hell free card.
Get out of hell free card. It's done. You've prayed this prayer. You know, you believe that God sent his son. And I will say that is where not just traditional church, but, you know, even the different kind of setup we're in, there's a danger to that, you know, of just making it about that moment.
Yeah.
And
there's,
man,
so much more,
yeah,
man.
Very much so. But anyway,
man, I was just like today, just kind of thinking about what we were about to talk about. And I was just, man, just talking to the Lord and feeling him respond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I just thought about all the people I know that don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know my heart. Like, it's not being super good.
Right.
Like,
just hang out with me and you. They'll know. Like,
my life,
we need it,
can be such a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to come before the Lord and to bear my heart to him and have him respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about that statement. Just get me in the door. Just let me check this off.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even venture to say, like I know it's not your devotion to God that saves you.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't want anyone to doubt whether they're a Christian or not or whatever, but it's like, what have you really done just by saying a rehearsed prayer? What have you really done? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to send anybody into paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you get that salvation paranoia. Well, did I do it right?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But at the same time, God, there's just so much more, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the fact that you just said it, and we've said it several times on here, that God still speaks outside of his word. He's not going to contradict his word, but to think that, you know, at the end of Revelation, that he's like, all right, well, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know? You know, I said this Sunday that, you know, that God is still in the miracle business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still doing miracles, because if not, we have to look at the Bible and say, okay, I think I mentioned, like, the parting of the Red Sea and the, you know, all these miraculous things, the Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth man, which I believe was Jesus, in the fire, all these things. So, like, he just stopped.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, it may not be as dramatic for us here in, you know, first world, you know, countries.
You know,
but I will say that even in, we have a friend that, in fact, we did the classified mission thing with him, Jason, you know, he in the places that he's in, he's very front lines, and we won't say where that's at, but shout out Jason if you're listening. I know you typically listen each time, but so many reporting meeting Jesus in dreams and visions.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, I get chills thinking about some of the stories, you know, that he shared.
Right.
I'll tell you, look, I got Sunday that kind of ties into this on just this getting off the hook and, you know, trying to be good and kind of balance those scales. And we all can dip back into that religious spirit, because that's the way every relationship on earth works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's this give and take. And if you go too far, you know, somebody's going to, you know, you're an outcast to them and all this. But when I mentioned Sunday that I don't pray for forgiveness anymore, the looks on people's faces, was like, our pastor doesn't pray for forgiveness. And I'll explain that. So you've got the context. I feel that I'm already forgiven.
Right.
You know, when I came to God and as a seven-year-old boy, the best I could understand the gospel, and of course there's been growth, you know, since then, I would hope so. But when I asked forgiveness, it wasn't just for the things I'd done from ages, you know, birth to 7 years old. If we really believe the gospel is what it says it is,
right,
that was for everything I would ever do. That absolutely. The beautiful words, it is finished.
Yeah.
It is finished. There's nothing more to do.
Right.
And so to me, to go to a holy God that's already looks at me as his son, mm-hmm. that I'm covered in the blood.
Right.
And if you're foreign to the concept of God and that sounds weird, covered in the blood, that's the blood of Jesus Christ, the lamb that was slain, all of this stuff. You know, if I truly believe that that was for everything, why would I continue to ask God to forgive me when he's already done it? And absolutely. I use the illustration of, like, I use Shannon Sunday, our good friend, but use you here of, like, if I've offended you, which I have before, you and I've had conversations where I've offended you, you've offended me, and but like true brothers, we work that out and move on. But if every time I saw you from now on, man, please forgive me for that, mm-hmm. and you already have, even as earthly people and as sinners and all this stuff, that would get very old.
Yeah.
You would be like, man, I've already forgave you. Like, let it go. Like, don't, if we can get that, why do we ask forgiveness? And so my approach more is when I do something I know I shouldn't, which I do often, just, I mean, even I use the Apostle Paul. He said, you know, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Like, I do the things I don't want to do. I go more the approach of telling God, like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry I did. I knew better than that, you know, but I don't, you know, I don't really attach that forgive me because I feel like I'm forgiven,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, it's he's a friend now.
Yeah.
Right. So if a friend, if I do something that offends you,
mm-hmm.
You know, look, dude, I'm sorry. I forgot mm-hmm. to be here when you mm-hmm. wanted me here, or I forgot to bring this, or I forgot to do. I mean, it's more of a politeness thing now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, when you said that Sunday, I think that was important for people to hear, even if they got offended by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you from personal experience, grasping that
mm-hmm.
is the beginning of freedom from sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I think it goes to the most undersold words in the Bible, the most least often talked about in sermons. And we do it a lot at where we gather. And there's various reasons for that, but the most undersold words in the Bible is "it is finished."
Yeah, yeah.
Because God, man, we try to attach we attach Jesus plus,
mm-hmm.
and you fill in the blank. You, if you're listening, you know what your plus is. You know, for me, it was those works.
Right.
You know, it was but there's still stuff I got to do, and it's like that gets into that obligation instead of. You know, when you look at it, no, I've been ransomed. I've been redeemed, you know, from all this, from a gracious, good God mm-hmm. that loves me,
yeah.
actively loves me, that did all this because he loves me.
Right.
So now my service goes from a place of love and adoration and not duty, you know, of like, I gotta.
Right.
No, it's like, no, I get to, and I want to because of.
One, there is a book that Shay, your sister,
mm-hmm.
Gave to me and you to read.
Yeah.
It's very rich. Mm-hmm. I haven't read the whole thing yet. Yeah. I actually read half of it and then started over.
Same.
And I'm still at half right now. But I think it's called Revealing Jesus. Maybe put it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
That has one of the most beautiful explanations of that concept of how we're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Is it once and for all? Is it something you ask for every time you screw up or whatever? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That book, she does a beautiful job. I can't remember the lady's name who writes it, but she does just a fantastic job of explaining that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely put that in the notes because I don't remember it all offhand.
There's a lot of things in that book that theology-wise
mm-hmm.
that answered some little questions for me that I've had ever since I was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, that,
yeah.
anyway, good, yeah, good stuff.
So. Well, continuing on, it ties right in here. The from the last point, the image of God in settler theology is safety first and sterile.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is, I know we'll get into it in pioneering, is 1,000,000% the exact opposite of the image of God. It is not sterile. It is not safe. You know, it's safe in His company, but following Him shouldn't be a safety first kind of thing.
Mm.
So prayer, telling the mayor, telling God what we want done.
Oh man, yeah,
yeah.
Just who, coming who to him with a long that, list. Man.
Yeah. I read a book one time, and it was a youth ministry book. I can't even remember the name of it now, but the image always stuck with me. But it was calling God, like, in that sense, like the cosmic vending machine.
Yeah.
You know, if you put in the right amount, hit the right buttons, just do everything quite right. In fact, it might even be one of those vending machines you got to hit with the shoulder and bump it, you mm-hmm. know, knock the you know, the chips or the candy bar or whatever down, that if we just do everything right, then we'll get what we want.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, you know, I start to say, unfortunately, I guess it's better, but unfortunately in our minds, that's not the way God works.
Yeah.
So religion, if we look at religion in settler theology, rituals make it happen. That it's all about rituals. It's all about going through motions, all of that stuff. Salvation, resting in the shade of the courthouse. We're you know, a believer now, we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we just get to hang out at church with our family.
Right.
And just... man, just hang out till it's time to go. Just check
maybe
off
eat some
those,
chicken.
Check off in boxes, yeah. Casserole that Miss Sue brings or whatever. But rituals make it happen. And then resting in the shade of the courthouse. And then the last one on settler theology is sin, and that's committing a disapproved settler no-no. You know, just those things that we shouldn't do. And and there is a call to holiness. We don't want to, you know, to take anything away from that. Again, just remember the words as that guilt or feeling of not measuring up, that it is finished. If we believe Jesus at His words, it is finished.
Well, and the word, you know, the word holy doesn't mean sinless.
Yeah.
It means to be separate.
Mm-hmm. Set apart.
Yeah. So it's like it's not a... It is about being pure for sure, because that's what part of what makes you set apart. But Jesus took care of that part.
That's right. Yeah. And if we could do that on our own, then what was even the point of rescue?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
We had to have that.
Yeah.
And so where settler theology is very much the courthouse dogmatics, I think is how they said it. Pioneer theology is tales of the trail. It is really living life on the trail. And so we'll just go through these just like we did on the other. And so churchmanship, where that was kind of hanging around in settler theology and being there every time the doors are open. I love this. In pioneer theology, it says doing the chores necessary to keep the wagons rolling.
Yeah.
That it's very much a different mindset. Again, I think where you said this contained and the building of, it's like, no, the gathering together is doing what's necessary to keep, you know, the message moving, keep God's grace, you know, in front of people, keep His compassion, His mercy, all of these things that we love about God. And yes, He has more for us to do and ways to live, but it really is this. I was involved in a church plant one time before we, you know, ventured out on our own. And one of the things we really felt got right, at least in the beginning of that church plant, was we said, what if Sunday gatherings, and I still don't know that we do this, to be honest, but it is a beautiful thought, that what if your church gathering, instead of just a gathering, because it's Sunday, really was a celebration of the family getting together on a Sunday, if that's when you worship, of celebrating what's already happened Monday through Saturday in the life of the church.
Mm.
And so, like, you're doing the work of the church because we are the church, right?
Right.
Monday through Saturday. And then Sunday we get together and celebrate, hey, here's what all God's done this week. It's a really beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah.
Instead of just, well, it's Sunday. This is what we do.
Yeah. You know?
And I would venture to say that probably most people out there, not even if you're absolutely in love with your church family, there is that thing of, well, it's just Sunday. That's just, you know, that's what we do. We go and we gather. But what's the purpose? Why are you gathering together? Eternal life. Again, in settler theology was more of an escape, like you're escaping. But eternal life in pioneer theology is knowing the trail boss, that's God, following the scout, which is Jesus, and the realization that the depth and meaning of life is truly pioneering. That's really the meaning of life, is doing, you know, being involved in something that's bigger than just a meeting.
Yeah.
Because if all we're doing is just going to gather, like, I hate to tell you this, but, like, I just don't, I feel like we're missing the mark on that. So, yeah, knowing the trail boss, following the scout, the realization that the depth and meaning of life is pioneering. Faith in settler theology was just simply believing. But in pioneer theology, it's a spirit of adventure, the call to risk your life on the trail. So how does the call to risk your life on the trail compare with traditional settings of going and sitting in a pew and listening to a message and high-fiving and leaving and, you know, where are we going to eat lunch? That's the big question a lot of times. How does it compare, you think? A spirit of adventure and a call to risk your life on the trail, how does that compare to you?
Well, I think it's all about the condition or the posture, maybe, of the heart. You know, why do people risk anyway?
Yeah.
Why would you risk something?
Yeah.
Why would you risk climbing a mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, because you want to experience the glory, the beauty of the peak. You know, like, why do you hike long ways to get to places out in the wilderness? You know, like, why risk anything? You know, like, people have, everybody has their reasons why they take risks in their life, but there's something, I think, in the human spirit. Because, I mean, you got men that'll come in and they'll do that. They'll sit in a pew and they'll just, that's just their duty as a human being, as a husband, you know, father or whatever. You know, but then they'll go out, they'll go on a men's trip, or they'll go out with their friends and they'll risk big. They'll go out and they'll, you know, go on some kind of wilderness thing or something, or they'll go, you know, we're going to go, like, you guys went turkey hunting in another state and went to these, like, walked, you know, literally like several, 100 miles or something crazy.
It was wild.
Going through, up and down through valleys and stuff. And, you know, you could say, well, that's kind of low risk, but still there's risk involved, right?
Yeah.
It's like, why does the heart even choose to risk?
Yeah.
That's because they think that there's something worthy for risking for, like, there's life on the other side of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, you think of,
I'll tell you one of the things on that trip, you know, we didn't think going turkey hunting was that much of a risk, right? Like, turkeys, you know, are not too dangerous. And, I mean, they could flog you and stuff like that if you got super close.
Right.
But I will tell you, one of the places is I was wearing my N1 Outdoor shirt. If you want to go to their website, I'm kidding. I don't know that I was. But me and my son-in-law, Jameson, we went in this one place and we're up in the mountains there in Washington. And we go to this place, and I mean, this is just not like in Alabama yet. We don't see this. And I say yet because we have had visual sighting on one property that we had in South Alabama of bears. But we go in this place in Washington, and we look and we see just this massive pile of deer bones. I mean, just massive, like strewed everywhere. And about 5 feet from where it was at, we go down this little hill, and he's like, what is that? You know, start looking around, and there are bear, like, claw marks on the trees.
Yeah.
And so James and I kind of look like Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk. We just kind of backed out a little bit, like, looking. It's like, I don't know. I think we're in his territory. So,
well, and think about,
a little dangerous.
Think about, like, you wouldn't have heard that story post or pre-trip.
Yeah.
And then went, oh, I don't think I want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think you would have not went?
No, I
would have. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, like, the point
might
is...
Might would have brought a bigger gun instead of a shotgun.
Yeah. But you know, me and some guys years ago went hiking, like an all-day hike up mountains to get to these two glacier lakes to catch trout.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, again, kind of a minimal risk, but you know, you could have broken a leg. You'd had to get helicoptered out of there. There are bears, you know, in there. There's like mountain lions and all kinds of crazy stuff there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's signs that say, be careful, you know,
right.
Minimal risk or whatever. But then you think about, you watch these shows where people do these crazy things and go on these crazy adventures. It's like, why risk?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's worthy of risk.
Yeah.
It's like, because there's life in the risk. There's life on the other side of it. There's glory on the other side of it. There's beauty on the other side of it. You know, and I remember coming out that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wrote a song about this called Mountains and Valleys.
Yeah.
That's online. You can stream it.
Yeah.
But coming out on that mountain, I did it to catch trout.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember catching a lot of trout. Mm-hmm. I caught trout like a lot of them, but now the thing I remember is just the beauty of it.
Oh yeah.
And I would have done it again without even taking a fly rod.
Yeah.
And went up there and just did it.
Yeah.
Cause standing on that peak, looking back down at the valley below was just breathtaking,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. And that's the kingdom of God, man. It's like, hey,
you and I had one of those moments, man, where we went fly fishing
in
Colorado,
right,
and
didn't we see a moose?
We did. But do you remember the torrential downpour that came, and it was a matter of what?
It's a matter of life and death.
Matter of survival. Yeah, we got under a canopy of trees, and our apologies to Colorado Parks and Rec. We found out later we probably broke some kind of law.
Yeah.
But we got under a canopy of trees and built our own fire, and I think it was Fat Keith that suggested, like, hey, we've got Vienna sausage. Let's try to roast them. And so we made our own sticks and, you know, cut off the limbs. And
if you've never had a Vienna sausage roasted over a fire, it's actually quite good.
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
Better than just eating them out of the can, I thought. But Jesse, I looked over and the guy that was with us, he's like, I don't know that you're supposed to have that fire. And Jesse just looked up, cut his eyes. It's a matter of survival, man. It had only been raining for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's fun times. But that was, again, a beautiful place, that meadow, you know, where we looked out and you could see the Colorado mountains and even different. That was one thing that we said on our turkey hunting trip, like, the beauty of just even different kind of trees and the woods were different. It felt like hunting almost in a foreign place, you know, and it's right here in our very country. But so getting back to pioneer theology, freedom, if you remember in settler theology, is very works-based. It's just staying out of hell, right? Out of getting thrown into jail. And this is what he says about freedom in pioneer theology. That freedom is what it's all about, being yourself and giving yourself to God and his great pioneering adventure.
Yeah.
I think somebody needs to hear this. What does God want from you? He wants you to be you.
Yeah.
He created you to be you.
Yeah.
The only one. I don't care if you have I grew up, I had friends and brothers, you know. In fact, I talked to one the other day, but we're identical twins. So, I mean, they looked obviously a lot alike, but even both had different personalities. So even if you're a twin, you say, well, I've got somebody just like me. You don't. There's only one of you, and God wants you to be you, even after you're redeemed.
Mm.
He created you with the passions, the gifts, you know, the way you carry yourself. He created all those things. And so If you're listening and you're trying to be someone else, that's maddening, because that's not who God created you to be.
Well, and I think, I don't think I know that the work of restoration is finding God, you know, putting us in certain things, putting us through certain things that restore us, that restorative work is bringing us to our true selves, the person that God created us to be. It's not like making us into this, you know, different person. It's making us into the person that we were originally created to be, you know. And unfortunately, most religious systems cause you to sort of hide behind a facade of a person that people want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you get into a lot of things about identity and stuff that we won't get into here, but I think everybody understands the reality that, you know, well, even if you don't understand, there is a person within you that God is trying to get to.
Right.
Right? God is trying to unpack and unearth things in the heart. That's the restorative work that we're all a part of, whether no matter where we are in that process.
Yeah.
That's unearthing the person that God made when he intended, when he created you.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes right into the next one. It says gospel and grace and settler theology. It was just getting off the hook, right? But in Pioneer, it's complete acceptance of all men. And that means settlers and pioneers alike. And so if you've been listening to this, we're not saying that a settler theology, so somebody that's a settler is not a believer. We're just telling you there's something more. You know, that he's, as Jesse said, unearthing things. And so complete acceptance of all men, that settlers and pioneers alike, and the power that frees men to be pioneers.
Oh, yeah.
There is a spirit that frees you. That's the true freedom in the gospel and grace of Jesus, is that it calls you to more. It really does. It's a deeper call than just that initial salvation moment. I said I was excited about this one, the image of God. You know, it's safety first, and it was sterile in the settlers. But in Pioneer, it is the pioneer itch. It says, once we see him and know him, we're all in for life on the trail.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, man, you know, think about it. Like, people that are listening to this, and this is not to shame anyone or make, you know, like, have you really... really had an encounter with Jesus? Like, really?
Yeah.
Because I look, the Christian faith is all about, I don't know if I'm using this word right, but it's experiential. It is.
Yeah.
Like, it's about experiencing God, period. Now, it's not all about experience. You can't base your whole faith on what your experience with God. It has to... That has to work in tandem with the written word. God's never going to, I know from experience, God just does not do that. He doesn't violate. He doesn't, you know, if your experience is conflict with the scriptures, then you need to seriously question that. But, man, it's experiential, man. Like, you have to have some kind of encounter with Jesus. And if you haven't, like, you should. Like, you can. That's possible. You know?
And that's an ongoing experience.
It's ongoing.
It's going, like, to be forever.
What I mentioned this morning, I had one this morning. Like, and that's common now. Me and you talk about that all the time. It's, and I mean, if that, man, how many people, there's so many people that I've talked to that, and again, these people are all smarter than me. They're more successful than me. They're like, I just never had that. And it's just heartbreaking.
It is.
Because it's not about knowing a lot of theology. It's not about studying the Bible a lot. It's not about being an expert on anything. It's about time with Jesus. I mean, it's the simplest thing in the world.
You could go back in the classic example, but I mean, in Scripture, the Pharisees were those people. They knew it all.
And that it confounded and frustrated them.
Yeah.
The life of Jesus frustrated the hell out of them because they just did not have what he had with the Father.
Think about this. They've trained their whole life to be a Pharisee.
Right.
And obviously, in Jesus and the 12, Jesus, obviously, we would put his knowledge above the Pharisees because he is the Word, right? But you would say the Pharisees, all of them, were smarter than the disciples.
Right.
I mean, they were fishermen and tax collectors and all these people. And I think that was one of the things of, like, look who his disciples are.
Yeah.
Like, they hadn't even been to training, right? They hadn't even been, you know, brought up through the synagogue. And they haven't, you know, they haven't learned the Word like we have. And, I mean, you're talking about people that knew it backwards and forwards, like, by memory.
Yeah.
Like, you and I quote dumb movies. They knew the Word, you know, that well.
Right.
But they didn't know it well enough that the Word was standing in front of them and they couldn't recognize.
Absolutely.
Because they had not had an experience yet with Jesus. I hope that some did after the fact.
And even, you know, and too, like, there were times where Jesus would do something, like he'd perform a miracle,
mm-hmm.
and it just pissed them off more.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had all these years of building this image, building this credentials, mm-hmm. these credentials of being people that knew all the right answers and knew all the right things, you know. And, man, I've literally talked with people who are leaders at churches
mm-hmm.
who can't tell me the last time they've heard God speak.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's like, man, it's crucial. And part of it, and I've said this before, you and I've talked about this before, part of it is I think there's a lot of people out there, maybe even professionals in the Christian world, like work at churches or whatever, who just don't employ the spiritual disciplines that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how can you expect to have the life Jesus had, but not employ the disciplines that he employed?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of time alone with God, mm-hmm. a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like conversational intimacy with God.
Yeah.
Fasting, which is something I've thought about a lot lately. I don't know the last time I fasted. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the last time you fasted?
Mm, it's been a while.
And I just haven't felt compelled to. But there's so many of those disciplines that Jesus did that were natural to him
mm-hmm.
that should be and can be natural to us. I think there are a lot of people in our circle that it's becoming natural.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Caroline, me and her will talk about, like, she's like, you haven't been alone with God in a while, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I start to get grumpy or I start to get stressed, she's like, you need to go outside. Go for a walk.
Yeah.
It's like a part of my life now,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, you know, it's just, you can't expect to have that life that Jesus had and have those experiences when you don't employ the disciplines that he employed.
Yeah. For sure. Well, it ties in perfect. The next one, in fact, I'll do the next two together, prayer and religion. Prayer was just simply asking for what we want. Religion was the rituals of everything. But prayer and pioneer theology is being open to the glory and demands of pioneering and listening to the voice of the trail boss, just constantly listening to God, listening for what he's inviting you into, what he's saying. Religion, celebration. The dance of life, a pioneer's dramatic response to God for all he has done and all that he is.
Mm.
That's why we gather.
Yeah.
You know, to celebrate what he's done. Salvation. And the other, it was resting in the shade of the courthouse, but I love this image here. It says in Pioneer, it's trusting God, following Jesus while living on the meat, the buffalo hunter, which is the Spirit provides. Just trusting God, following Jesus. I think my absolute favorite is the last one, because sin, obviously that's a big issue that causes separation between us and God and has to be dealt with, and we can't deal with that on our own. We know that. But in settler theology, it's being a disappointment to God. But a sin in pioneer theology is deciding to turn back.
Yeah.
To just be like, you know what, I'm done risking. I'm done listening. You know, I'm just going to go back to just sitting in a pew, listening to a message and leaving. And there's people that have done that. You know, we've had friends that have experienced burnout in ministry, which is easy to happen. especially if you're not walking with God, if you're trying to do that. And I have, I've tried to do it on my own, yeah. and it's maddening. We don't have the capacity for that.
Right.
We've got to walk with Him. We've got to trust Him. And so a sin in pioneer theology would be deciding to go back and turn back off a life of the trail.
I feel compelled to share something here. So this is something that's been that I've been kind of dealing with. And, you know, when we talk about when we said the prayer thing, we're talking about talking to God and listening to God. Like, what does that look like? And we could probably do a whole podcast and probably should at some point about listening to God, about hearing God. But one thing I've learned about God, because I know there's people sitting out there, it's like, how do you even have that? How can you hear God speak? And one thing I've learned, God never speaks when I'm super anxious and I'm surrounded by drama. I have to calm down. I have to find peace. Which in a religious setting, it's which you even argue that did those people even experience that at all? Which I hope they do, but there's this I don't know how to say it. Like, anyway, in pioneer setting, I think that there has to be. What I've learned about myself is, like, whenever there's drama, whenever there's anxiety, my heart just sort of shuts down. Or if I really want to hear something, like if I ask God, are you going to do this? And I never hear anything. And I know there's a lot of religious people who, they have their prayers sort of organized. Like, God should do this. God should do A, B, and C.
Right.
God should make my kids behave. Like, we pray, God, you know, my son or my daughter's acting up in school or they're hanging out with the wrong crowd. God, please intervene. God, please intervene. God never does, you know. And I think that leaves a lot of people that are in that religious system jaded, and it pulls them back into that religious system of just shutting down and going, I'm going to do whatever I got to do, and I'm not going to engage with God anymore.
Right.
And I think that's what keeps people locked in. And I have learned that whenever I am asking God a question or I'm trying to hear God speak on a certain subject, if I don't hear God respond, first of all, I have to release. I have to learn to let go. But I always ask the question, what is preventing me from hearing you? It's like a layering kind of thing. Right. It's like God's not answering the thing I want him to answer. Okay, so what's preventing me from hearing God? And so it's like there's these two layers of that. And it's like, and it always comes back to some sort of control, which comes back to the religious system. It's like we can control that kind of God. We can control the God in settler theology. We can control that until something happens, until there's cancer or until there's a kid that is acting up, or until we lose our job and we're out of work or whatever, and we start to like, what are you doing? Why don't you answer? Why? Because I'm thinking of people right now that are in a religious system that are frustrated because they've asked God and he won't answer. And it's like in pioneer theology, it's like we have to stay in step with the Spirit. And that means when we're not getting an answer or God's not speaking, we go back to, okay, what's keeping me from hearing? What's keeping me from hearing God? What's keeping me from experiencing him right now? And as you kind of walk that back, I have experienced God in his grace and mercy going, you know, your will is in conflict with mine. Or, you know, this is a pride thing, you know? It's like, that's the music thing for me. It's like, you know, years I prayed for God to open doors and stuff, and he has, and he is, and things are great, you know, and that's good. But there are many times where I have stagnated for a long time, and I prayed and prayed, and I finally learned to stop and go, okay, why can't I hear you speak on this? And it always comes back to, getting alone, getting quiet, doing what Jesus did. You know, Jesus would slip away and he would go off to a hillside somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, I just need to share that, but I think
That's good.
In a religious system, I think it's tough for people to hear God because they're still praying to this God that they can control.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like that kind of works for a while.
Yeah.
You pay in your tithe, you're doing all your stuff, you're going to church, and it's like, man, God's blessing us. We got money, we got a good house or whatever, until something happens. Mm-hmm. But God forbid, you know, until there's that job loss or there's that crisis. Mm-hmm. Crisis enters our world.
Yeah.
And then we're like, no, we need this God that we've been controlling. We need to be able to control him and manipulate his power to fix this problem.
Yeah.
And man, it just, God just doesn't work that way, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, for me, the entire series, and we've got one more chapter that we'll get into next time and finish this one up. But for me, the difference that's been kind of stark and just jumps off the page to me is, settler theology is knowing a lot about God, and pioneer theology is actually knowing, you know, God.
Yeah.
And if I could encourage anything, it's the walking with and, you know, trusting him for the next step without, you know, crafting that in your mind and, well, this is how he's going to respond or this, because you can't figure him out.
Mm.
Like he's always got a wild card up his sleeve.
He never does the same thing twice.
No,
if you read the scriptures, it's like,
you
know, he never heals anybody the same thing twice, same way twice. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I often think about that guy, you know, like there was blind people that he touched and healed, but there was that one guy, he spit in the dirt and made the mud.
Yeah.
And I just picture, you know, maybe two blind guys that got healed. You know, we don't have everything recorded. You know, Jesus healed more than a couple blind people. But, you know, man, how did he? Well, he just said to open my eyes and see. Oh, that's cool. You know, what about the other guy? Well, he touched me and I was healed. And the other guy said, dang, man, he spit on my eyes and made mud and rubbed it on there. It's like, I mean, I guess Jesus spit, you know, it's all right. But, yeah, he's kind of like, yeah, I kind of got a different story, but anyway. Well, man, good stuff. Thank you for being with us and listening. Excited to get into this next chapter and excited for what's to come in the days ahead. So thank you guys for listening along. We'll put in the show notes everything we think would be beneficial to you there, and we'll see you in the next time. So thank you guys for tuning in.